Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast. And up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
A casual gamer, a constant complainer, welcome to Filthy Stinks. He's calling to moan, he's leaving notes on your phone, welcome to Filthy Stinks. You're listening to Filthy Stinks.
Hello, weary traveller. And welcome back to the latest episode of Filthy's Like a Dragon's Ring Stings. I am your host, Deadbeat Punk, or Christopher Love, depending on your fancy. But the man, the name, is Podcast After. I haven't had a drink at all. It's Filthy.
Welcome to the podcast. I've been playing a game. Let me explain. I was watching Glastonbury at the weekend.
Oh, were you?
It was great, and Guns N' Roses were pretty good, so...
Yeah, you did a better impression of Axl than Axl did.
Yeah, I mean, oh, God love him. Someone said...
God
though, at
love
least...
him, he's a bollocks.
Well, as someone says, at least he delivers that show while running a bleep test from school. You know, at least he puts the effort in, puts in the hard yards. Old Slash just stands there looking pretty and playing his guitar.
He can't help looking pretty, it's how God made him. God what bless him.
God bless everyone that Slash... I don't know, anoints.
God help us all. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we got that a bit early, actually.
Filthy, before we go any further,
yes,
we must warn everyone listening. There may be swearing.
Do you mean like the way you just called everybody, you just called Axel a bollocks? Like that kind of swearing?
Is bollocks a swear?
I don't know.
I would call it a description.
That seems fair. Yeah, okay. I'll let you. We'll let you off with that one. And now you've told people we're going to swear,
my
so.
PhD in foul language.
Fuck it, yeah.
You c**t. You can't start swearing until the spoiler section is over.
Oh, sorry, I've started mid-spoiler section. Sorry, so there's going to be spoilers as well? Oh, wow.
Yes, this show will contain quite a bit of spoilers if you have made enough progress in the game, which can be hit or miss at times. The game we will be spoiling is Yakuza 7, or Yakuza Like a Dragon, or Like a Dragon Like a Dragon. Now that Slippy Fist Studios have changed the Yakuza name.
Oh, nice. Well done.
But of course, we would advise anybody who may be a bit confused at the moment to go listen to Elderflower Pilot. It'll explain it all.
Yeah, I think I might have to go back that way myself at this rate of going.
So Filthy, how have you been since the last episode? It's been a while.
It has. I've been busy, man. You know, life, etc. All the rubbish stuff.
I know
that
life.
Happens. You've been. You've visited. It's but it's good to be busy at times, but it's also good to be able to sit down and play a game on your Xbox or talk to your friend about the game you're playing on your Xbox. And so I'm very glad to be back after my sojournment. Sojournment? That's the word I said, so that's what I'm going to call it.
I'll just double down when you get things wrong.
I should think so.
It's the podcasting way.
Well, exactly. It's worked for everybody else. It might as well work for me. How have you been?
Well, I wanted to mention something that happened. A revelation in my life. You may recall some of it. I got an email from ETAP looking to review the hotel.
Oh, no.
And I was seriously considering cutting out that little bit of the episode and just sending it to them.
Not bad. You could let them know that it's out there and they have to find it. This is on... This review is live on a hit podcast. It's up to you, the listener, to find it. Mr. Yeah, ETAP.
Put the work in.
Jim ETAP. Jimmy ETAP? Oh, what have I done there? Well, I've confused things even more. That's not good.
Are you trying to do the Brian Elden Ring thing, but you just made Jimmy ETAP?
I think that's what's happened. Yeah.
You've made it all one word, like share.
Yeah. How do you make Jimmy ETAP? Put him in a chokehold? There's a joke right off the bat. This is why people tune in. I've made up a character.
That's better. I was going to say stick a hose up his arse, but no, that's revolting.
Why'd you have to go there?
You sent me a news article about Whoopi Goldberg.
I did.
Do you remember what that was about? Because it was quite a while ago.
It was a while ago. Well, yeah, no, I do. I genuinely do. Because it really tickled me that Whoopi Goldberg is one of the six people on the planet who enjoys playing games on an Apple Mac. And she was really annoyed. She wanted her money back because she bought Diablo 4 and then found out that it doesn't work on a Mac. Which means she must have bought it on Amazon or something and thought, I'm just buying this game, and then realized that she couldn't physically download it or do anything with it, which was, one, fucking hilarious, and two, I mean, what an insight into the fact that she must be a millionaire, right, Whoopi Goldberg?
Well, she used to be. I'm sure she still is.
Yeah, and she can't afford an Xbox or a PlayStation 4 or a PC.
Well, just a bit. You're a diehard console fanboy, you know how it goes. You wouldn't dream of getting a PlayStation or playing on a Mac.
No, that would be world gone mad. Be world gone mad. Per Whoopi.
Poor Whoopi. Fuck up by a PC like everybody else. Prick.
Just a bit of a bizarre. I literally don't know anything about this part of the world. Can you play any game on an Apple? Is that a thing?
You can. It's kind of, well, it's similar to the consoles. You would have to port it over. You'd have to make a version that's compatible on that operating system, which is time and effort. And if there aren't a lot of people on that platform, why develop for it?
Yeah.
Why a lot of people are spitting the dummy out about the Xbox Series S. The one
right
you
enough,
have is an X.
Yeah, it is.
The little white or black now, S. Mm. But you have to make an inferior version. It has to be lower visual fidelity. It's a lot of work, and it doesn't have the biggest user base.
I did not actually know that.
For anybody that doesn't have a 4K TV or really care that much about the high fidelity end of visuals, it's the way to go.
And that would explain why when you see the logo and it like games are always advertised specific that it's out for the X and the S. Because I did sometimes
not let you have a game that works in one and not the other. It has to work across the whole ecosystem.
Yeah, of course. But that's why they specify the logo and everything. Because you think they would have just, called it works on, the current
XS.
One.
XS, kind of makes it sound like a rapper.
Well, indeed. We all know what happened there. Indeed, when he was in XS.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Indeed. Strangle wink.
We were so close to being out of that section without the words being said, but subtlety.
I'm sorry, but I was thinking of Henry Cavill. He built his own gaming PC. There's not a reason Whoopi Goldberg couldn't make her own.
That's true. I could imagine she could have a real nice, funky one. Call it the Whoopi, like going upstairs to play a Whoopi. Do a Whoopi? I don't know.
Whoopi PC.
There we go. See?
It was right there for you.
This is why you're on the big money.
Indeed. Sign up to that Patreon, people. Well, that was an utter load of bollocks. How are you?
Yeah. Other than that, I'm just great. Been playing my game. Actually been playing it. I'm trying to think. I don't want to spoil anything going forward, but or tease the listener for that matter. But I may have actually managed to play the game for this entire episode, or certainly a larger portion of it than normal. So,
shook.
Pretty good. Yeah, feeling pretty good about that.
Rattled to the very fucking core. Will we find if that's true or not by playing some stings?
Let's see what's happened.
I finally finished chapter 5. That was good. And surprise, surprise, I get knocked out, because that just seems to happen to me on a regular basis. And I woke up and I was with Chinese guy that I've been looking for, the counterfeiter. I'm going to call him Kung Lao because I can't remember his actual name now. And yeah, he's been counterfeiting money, basically. And he uses my big dramatic speech against me to incite war with the three clans. So that's good. I then get out and I've just spent the last it was either 45 minutes or 4.5 years, I can't figure out which, underground, just continually fighting people. There was about, in all seriousness, I think somewhere in the region of 70 fights there, one after the other. Every type of menacing man you can think of. Menacing man, threatening man, perverted man, and about the menacing man. Big ones, small ones, over and over again there. But I got through it and then had to fight a man in a digger and attack a digger. So I did that as well. That was good. And I finally just made it above ground. That was, it was just a little tedious. I could have done without maybe the first 40 of those fights. You know, they could have halved them, would have been reasonable. But at least I leveled up a few times, I suppose. Oh, and as a final point, I could see what you meant about the four-man bit would have been useful. Except he's not eligible to be a four-man yet. So I had him back at hero at this point. Anyway, I need a little sit down.
So why did you get knocked out?
Look, why does anybody get knocked out?
To move the plot forward. Next sting.
Yeah. I seem to get knocked out a lot.
To be fair, sometimes it's through gunshots, which is a good reason of getting knocked out.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm a bit of a hapless sort, aren't I? If that's
what the fuck are you going to do against getting shot?
I know. Or a digger, for that matter, but sure, here I am. Yeah, I got knocked out, woke up in a load of chains. Well,
you got knocked out because you stumbled across a crate full of paper, which you shouldn't have been looking in, Filthy, you nosy fuck.
I know, it was blank paper earmarked for a Chinese restaurant, and yet, whenever
cook with paper.
Well, that's what I thought.
What the fuck's going on?
Yeah. And whenever we needed more money, he just went upstairs to the not safe and yet produced more money. It was all, I don't know. Yeah. So that's
money's
what happened to
printed
me.
On paper.
Well, that's what it has in common with Chinese restaurants. They both use paper in different ways. Some for currency, some for not cooking. See? Mm. Now you're wondering. Now
Grease
I'm wondering.
Proof.
Precisely.
So you're caught trying to steal one of the counterfeit notes.
I was. That did
yes,
happen.
You were, Filthy. You sticky-fingered little shite.
I know. I might have skipped a little bit there or went for a sandwich or something.
A little bit, because it has the exploding lorry bit. It's when this turns into an action movie.
I don't specifically remember the
you
lorry
all run out
question.
Of the warehouse, the lorry explodes behind you, you do the whole lifted by the impact, and that's what knocks you out.
I may not recollect to that, but I definitely woke up in chains.
Yes, you did. Shirtless.
Yes, unnecessarily so, except that I cut such a fine figure.
He's got a fine tattoo, that boy.
He does, and I was also the last one to wake up, which was a little disappointing. I thought, God, I'm the lightweight, aren't I? Poor Richie the boy.
Well, as we were saying earlier, you've been knocked out a lot.
Yeah,
I think these are starting to have an effect.
Certainly seems that way. Then a bloke comes in, threatens to torture me. That was very
action. Who is this bloke?
Well, I've called him Kung Lao after the great Kung Lao of Mortal Kombat. Mainly because I don't know his actual name. But he is certainly a crabby sort who is trying to start all sorts of rows amongst all sorts of gangs of people. So that's who he is.
Bit of a turd, this man.
Yeah, I certainly didn't like him. And the more he talked, the less I liked him. And he did this thing. He sort of tricked me into saying exactly what he wanted. I thought, why is he filming this? This is all a bit weird. And
you think you know this by now? Because I always take your audio and like move it around and make you sound a bit idiotic in the final product.
That's true. Neither Itchy and I have ever got any wiser to this tactic, It is fair to say.
Because without wanting to pull back the curtain into the back room too much, Filthy is such an eloquent human in reality. If you ever meet him, you're in for a shock.
Yeah, that's a truth fact right there. In fact, most of what I say on these shows is actually in perfect iambic pentameter. It's just that it then just gets screwed around in the edit. And
yes, butchering audio. It's my one true talent.
Yeah, that's where I got to, though. And then a mysterious mysterious man, I believe I gave him a name. Did I call him Morpheus, I think?
You did later on, but sure, yeah, yeah. Whatever.
Oh, I've not got that far. Wait, no, have I skipped ahead? No.
It's just you name him later.
Oh, okay. Well, there is a guy who comes in anyway and does some mysterious shit, and then I get to escape. But only after I fight an awful lot of people.
So a mysterious man came to your aid. We've come full circle.
Yes, haven't we just? Have we? Have we?
Well, you fight a lot of mysterious men, is what I was getting at.
Yeah, menacing men. They're more menacing than mysterious. And some of them are perverts, apparently.
Mysteriously menacing.
Mysteriously menacing men. Yeah, this was a nice bit for me to use gaming terminology because it was a dungeon, like you talk about. So
I do like to crawl through the odd dungeon.
Yeah, so this underground thing, we mentioned this before, I suppose is a dungeon section of the game. But bugger me if it didn't go on for a very long time.
Yeah, it can go on, especially if you take all the other paths to find treasure, which I'm sure you did.
I did, actually. Here, do you know what's not fun? When you go to open a tasty, tasty safe and there's some weirdo inside it that you have to fight.
Oh, yeah, that's safe pervert.
Don't like that at all. Nope. Before I forget, actually.
You didn't like that, you bollocks?
Oh, I did not. Oh, shock.
Sorry, you were saying?
Yeah, no, I'm going to have an actual question for you here. Maybe it'll be... I could be wrong, actually. But
that's never happened before.
I need to decide if I want to ask this question or if I've just...
Save it in your back pocket.
Well, no, the question I have is, whenever you're in a fight, the items that you have to eat and heal yourself, are those the same ones as whenever you're every day just wandering around and hit the start button and go into your inventory? They are. I just keep imagining that the two lists don't add up, but that sounds like it's entirely my problem. That's weird. Because I keep myself well stocked.
Could be the case if you're looking at your items. Maybe there's some items that you can't use in battle, like crafting material or...
Maybe.
Or maybe you might be able to sort them. Maybe they're sorted into the highest healing to the lowest or types or...
That could be it. I just... I tend to use a lot of healing items to keep myself well stocked.
But yeah, everything you can use in the battles are part of your overworld infantry or inventory.
Well, that's all right then. All's well that ends well.
Good question.
Thank you. See, starting. I've only been playing this game for 42 hours. I'm starting to understand it now.
So before we move on, I just wanted to mention, going over this bit again, we've skipped another run-in with Bleach Japan.
Did we? Because we'd go...
At this point of the warehouse, because you actually come back to the mainland and return to the warehouse a couple of times.
Yeah, you do. No, I do know.
Yeah,
that.
And one of those times you come back, you have a run-in with Bleach Japan. This is when you fight them and all the other shopkeepers come out and realise that they don't need the gangs. They can look after each other to fend off Bleach Japan.
That becomes pertinent later on.
It does. It's just why I wanted to mention it, just in case anybody's playing along.
If anybody's... God love anybody trying to keep up with the plot.
Well, the two people from the Discord that are playing along, one of them has finished it and the other is not far from it.
Very good. That's nice for them.
Yes, you looked very pleased for them.
Yeah, I think that's great work, and I'm happy for them in all their successes. I'm not being as successful as the rest of this show may go on to show.
These two listeners also have very, very hectic jobs. They're busy and they do... Actually, one of them makes their own podcast.
I bet they're really good looking too, aren't they?
Rob Shack is. Gadgets acquired. Bit of a bear.
That's
cuddly. But I wouldn't introduce him to my parents.
Well, that's what you said about me. And look at us now.
I never introduced you to my parents.
Those are actors. I'm an actor. Apparent. Don't know if anybody else got those sort of adverts growing up, but we did. I'm a doctor, not an actor. Sorry. Little side, not like me to take us off on a tangent, but if you're not from Northern Ireland, people are usually shocked at our road traffic accident adverts. Google them if you're not from here, because English people don't get them. We show basically horrific horror movie car crashes with limbs going flying off, people through windscreens. But we show them at like 8:05 in the evening on TV.
It was
and then
on the advert breaks for soaps.
Yeah, you're watching Corrie, and then someone goes through a windshield with her neck snapping, and it's like, here, stop drinking and driving.
You bollocks. We had an... I still have an auntie. She moved over from England, and she had forgotten about these. And you know the way you have the TV on in the background of the living room?
Of course.
Sitting there, talking. Do you remember that one, can you tell me about your life?
Yes.
That one.
Yeah.
She started screaming in the middle of the living room because everybody from Northern Ireland has seen this advert 500 times.
Yeah.
Did not even raise an eyebrow. She looked around and seen, that's the one where there's like fucking the cub playing football in the back garden.
Yes. And the car,
and the
rolls,
car
over.
Rolls over the fence and flattens him. And the father comes out and cradles his crushed body.
Yes.
And yes, dear listener, that's not a joke. That's what happens.
Nope. That's what happens.
I wouldn't joke about that sort of thing.
Well, there's fun...
DOE would.
there's one, actually, where there's a couple kissing on a wall. She's sitting on the wall.
The body-to-body one.
Yeah. She's sitting on the wall. He's, you know, arm around the waist, and they're kissing, and then the car pins him to the wall, crushes him against the wall. I'll say this. I went to school with him, and I wasn't that upset. Yeah.
He deserved a good crippling.
It didn't bother me at the time, I'll say that. But there you go. Not all accidents.
But the problem was they had to keep upping the ante afterwards too. The one after that kid getting crushed. They basically did the same thing, but it was like a fucking football team in the field.
That's right. It was 12 kids killed in one car accident. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. But and people
I
wonder
think that's
why,
we have... why they stopped. They just couldn't up it anymore.
People wonder why we have such a dark sense of humour in this country. That's what we do.
They played those during the middle of The Simpsons.
Good times.
The funniest part of the half hour.
Good times. I'm getting a really weird flashback to us talking about this on an old episode of The Elden Ring.
Are we rehashing old territory?
It could be. I think I remember taking a fit of giggles about something inappropriate like this off the telly, but let's move on before... I don't know, we start having to do a best of.
Oh yeah, I'm sure everybody's still listening after that. Another audio note.
Yeah.
Been playing around on the management game. Still don't totally know what I'm doing. I bought a second business, so I've got 6 employees. They're never fucking happy. I've trained them, I've promoted them. There's always something. I've had 2 shareholder meetings now. The first one was a disaster. Second one, I just kept hammering buttons. Just kept getting the people to say things. And... I won, they all levelled up, and they all loved us, so that happened. We only seem to ever go up by 1 extra rank, which in theory means I would have to do 160 periods of business to reach number 1, which I'm not prepared to do, so I assume it starts moving a bit quicker. But, yeah.
So, I think there's probably going to be a few audio notes, maybe even in a row here, that will be around the management game. So,
yeah, I do feel bad about this one. Earlier mentioned, incredibly handsome Robshack was playing this game at the same time. And remember when I said that I would skip ahead and I'd do the tutorial, kind of explain everything to you off air?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was saying, oh, I can't wait till Filthy gets this bit and you explain how to do it. I say, ah,
so
the one time somebody wants me to go into too much depth about game mechanics and I shit in their face. Whoops.
For Robshack, that was unreasonable of you. I can't help but
it was. It's a horrible way to treat somebody, and he's been such a nice person.
Disappointing.
But what does that get you? Shit in the face, Filthy.
Yep, that certainly seems...
Shite in the face.
Certainly seems to be the way. At this stage, I don't know, we'll probably... I don't know, maybe we can go through these ones in a... montage or something, but yeah,
you can play them in the background as we're talking.
Exactly. So my first impressions of the management game, and I couldn't really make head nor tail of it. I got myself to the first shareholder meeting, and yes, just button mashed, and I was like, okay, they seem happy with the chicken, fair enough, the chicken's gonna keep talking, boom, there we go.
The chicken tells you to sit the fuck back down, boy.
Essentially, that was it. But, yeah, that was, at this point in the my journey, not a great time to be alive, playing a weird simulator of a management game and wondering why I can't just hit somebody in a turn-based succession. But I may have got better I may have got worse.
Will we play a sting and find out how you progressed?
Let's find out.
Yeah, I really don't understand this game. The little cursor in the bottom right for all my properties is in the blue. There's the needle, and we're in the blue, well past the needle in both properties I own. And yet I'm making fuck all. I make 90,000 yen on my Photoshop, and 50,000 yen in the original Ichiban confections. All my staff are promoted and motivated. I'm nearly bankrupt. I don't get it.
This is a bit of a common one. The blue bars being full means you can upgrade the property to make more money. So when you invest in the property itself, because if you invest in a business, you can improve the bars below it.
Right.
Which means you can do more business. But right. If you invest in the company itself, you increase the turnover, but you increase the stress in your staff.
Is there a separate place to invest in the business?
No, it's the top bar. That one increases because you'll see every time you invest in the business, the parameters increase, they get larger.
Yeah.
And if your staff aren't qualified enough, they turn red.
Yes, this was it, because there was four. There was three bars, but there was four upgrade opportunities. Yeah, if you like.
So that top one, you have the bars underneath, and if they're blue, that means you're doing great, you're handling everything. But if they turn red, it means your staff are overworked or they're not able to manage.
Yeah.
So if those are blue, you can upgrade the company itself to increase the turnover. But if you do that too much, it'll put too much pressure on your staff. The bars will turn red.
Okay.
So it sounds like your staff were managing well and you were in the right parameters, but you didn't invest in the business itself to increase the turnover.
Which was very foolish of me.
You had everything right, bar that one money-making part.
And that's the bit people tend to like in business. The money-making bit's the fun bit.
It helps.
Yeah, does tend to be. Disappointing. I'm disappointed.
So, it's a shame. You were very close. But maybe you worked it all out on your lonesome. Will we find out how?
Let's see what happened.
Okay, maybe I wasn't doing as bad as I thought. I seem to have just got into the top 100 at the last minute, to when I needed to, so that Nick was happy. That's Cravat Man. You mentioned that I'd been speaking with him. Apparently I had. And he has given me more money now. 50 million yen indeed. I can buy more properties, hire more people, and still not understand what I'm doing. Okay.
So it definitely sounds like you made an improvement here.
Yeah, I started to get a hold of the investors meetings at this point, which was good. At least I figured out what the different bars and numbers on the screen during those means.
Yeah, so you worked out the triangle of colors in the corner, blue, red, and green.
I wouldn't go that far.
So every one of your staff members have a color.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did try and make sure that I had a balance of the colors. Yeah.
Very good. To the left of the screen, you can see the triangles, which color is strong against the other.
I assumed it was matching the colors as red, not a red person against the red person.
No, it's somewhat like Pokemon. They're like elements. Some are stronger against others, and some are weaker to others.
That might be where I was going wrong at the time.
When you first talk to a shareholder and their speech bubble comes up and you have to break that down before you start taking energy off them.
Yeah, you smash those three little shields. Yeah.
Yeah. If you scroll through your staff members, you'll see once you get the corresponding color, if you can't remember the order they go in, it says weak, and that will take 2 to 3 shields off rather than the one.
Then just the one. Right. Yeah. Okay.
And if you use the strong color against them, you get a multiplier.
I've seen that come up, obviously, just by chance. Okay.
So sometimes if you've got a really weak character, but they build up the multiplier, you would use them 3 times, bring up the multiplier, then move over to your strongest character, and the damage they do is multiplied by whatever you've built up.
Okay.
You didn't take that on board at all?
No, I just got a bit lucky. I did figure out that sometimes they were better at breaking shields than others, and then I did figure out how you deplete people, and that depending on how strong your guy is, it takes more
because
of your
you'll
available.
See a persuasiveness bar, and that's what brings down
but it takes
the
a
argument.
But it takes a bigger chunk out of how much time you have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's also the energy bar, how much you can use each character. Some characters are as low as 3, some are as high as 11, but it's normally because they're very good or very bad.
That's why the chicken was good, because he was very low, but yet he was quite effective.
Yeah, very much so.
I did. And yeah, that was whenever I did start progressing a bit after a good shareholder meeting. Once
because
I started
the
those.
Likes of the chicken, if you used him 3 or 4 times, your multiplier might go up if he was the right element.
Yeah.
And then you could use the points on a strong character, which would double the damage, in quotations, against the shareholder.
Yes. Yeah.
We really should have done that in the last episode.
Potentially.
It's far too late now.
Yeah, playing a game with retrospective tips.
Sorry, Rob Shack. You deserve better.
Yeah, we'll endeavor to do better. Please, please keep listening. You're all we've got. Please.
Well, yeah, we kind of did insult Gadget a little bit. I say we. I mean me.
That was you, yeah.
Yeah. Fuck you, Gadget.
I like the guy, you know. I mean, I've never met him. That's probably why I like him. But
yeah, that normally helps with liking people.
Yeah, that's how
when you meet people, you really go off them.
So it goes downhill. Look at me. People probably think listening to me is a good idea until they try and do it in real life. And then, well, it is not.
Shall we treat ourselves to another sting?
Yes.
Decided to progress the storyline a bit now that I've progressed more in the business. I did get into the top 50 all by myself. It was very rewarding. So I thought I'd step away and do something to do with chapter 6. And I thought I'd go and warn the people in the pinstripe suits that the guy that had me in the chains in the sewer was only going to be starting a war with them, playing them for the fool with this video that he's edited. But it turns out that they were more than happy for a war. The pinstripe boys, the pinstripe gang, the I don't know what to call them, but a clan of some sorts, and they were more than happy to do a wee war. So now I've had to beat them up. Called in my pound mate Gary. That was a bit of a laugh just for the crack, because I'm pissing money at the minute. I'm walking around with over 1 million yen on me, and it's making me nervous, because if I lose a fight, I'm going to lose all that money. But I haven't had a chance to get to the bank, you know yourself. But let's see what happens now that I've beaten up the pinstripe boyos.
I mean, can you imagine my surprise when I go in there, all the best intentions in the world, going, you know, why can't we be friends? And they're actually looking to have an old fight anyway. Just thrilled at the idea.
And you skipping out and going to the bank and everything just to see them.
Exactly.
No consideration.
Carrying a large amount of money to some gangsters. Worried.
That's when you stop and think about these things afterwards.
Yeah, probably not my best move. But thankfully, it kind of worked out.
So at this point in the story, tensions are high, Filthy.
That's putting it mildly.
Lao Ma, or Kung Lao?
Yep, Kung Lao.
Yeah. Well, he's gunned down 2 members of the Siriu clan in public on their own turf. And Filthy, in gangster Yakuza terms, that's a bit of a shyster.
What a bastard.
An absolute whore. So this resulted in the captain of the Siriu clan, Captain Takabe. He takes a small army of armed Yakuza. You would never guess somebody's been drinking for this one. And he's taken this army down to Restaurant Row in a knee-jerk reaction for revenge.
Oh, that's the worst type.
And Restaurant Row's where the gang lives.
I know the type. I've been there. I've eaten there. It's quite the restaurant.
Go you.
Quite the row of restaurants. Yeah, right.
Succulent.
Succulent Chinese meals to be had wherever you look.
So yeah, he's gone ahead without the permission, the go-ahead from the leader, which is a bad move in itself.
I can't see it being a good move. I mean, I really don't.
Yeah, but you can kind of see 2 wee lads out in the Judy, you know, so close to retirement, getting shot.
Giving it the big one. Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
And it's at this point that Adachi, or Big Bob, comes up with a theory that maybe...
Oh!
Yeah, that guy.
Ach, yes. I like him now. He's quite good. Good fighter.
Yeah. So he comes up with a theory that Lao Ma has used Ichiban as a catalyst to kickstart a turf war between the 3 gangs.
Fair enough. And fair enough. I also came to that conclusion, but hey.
Hey-ho. Aren't you a clever biscuit?
I know, right?
But Ichiban is not going to allow himself to be the catalyst or a scapegoat for a civil war.
Not on my watch.
He quotes his anarchy.
There's an anarchy in the UK?
He said, the first move is what counts. Whoever sacks up first wins.
Whoever sacks up?
Yeah, sacks up.
Weird way of putting it, isn't it?
Whoever has the balls, filthy.
Oh, that type of sack. Okay, that seems fair. Whoever makes balls up first wins. It's my arse on the line. I don't want any cock-ups, you know?
Sorry, that was a line.
It occurs to me at this point in the game that here we are sitting in Ireland and wherever the hell we are, playing a game about all these battling gangs in Japan.
Are you trying to relate this to the Troubles?
Well, no, what I was going to say is, can you imagine if this game was set here and there was loads of Asian people sitting playing a game and it's like, okay, so the head of the UVF has just actually had a secret deal with the head of the INLA. What nobody expected was for the IRA to show up. And, you know, that would be, I just think it'd be quite interesting. Does that go on in a parallel universe somewhere?
Gerry Adams rips off his shirt jacket to reveal a tattoo of gigantic proportions of Mr. Tato.
Exactly. You know, it could happen. I mean, it won't, but it should. But it's just a thought.
I think we should definitely get into game development.
I think there's a pitch to be made here. So Rockstar would be all over this. Come on. They'd love it.
Oh, they would just make a Streets of Rage ripoff. Yeah. Political figures.
Jamie Bryson walking down the street.
Arlene Foster would be a boss. Imagine if you could just charge 50p every time you wanted to punch her in the face.
Edwin Poots's ears would be a special move. We could create some sort of whirlwind with them. I don't know. Running on empty here.
It's nice that we have such broad, appealing material.
Isn't it just?
Who the fuck's Arlene Foster?
No idea. Never heard of her, mate.
I do like how you go quiet every time I mention punching women. It's respectable.
Thank you. I'm trying to be a better person and learn from my mistakes in previous episodes.
Another ring sting.
Yes.
Holy shit, I actually finished chapter 6. It was only a wee one. If you take out the wandering through the sewers for 14 years and then running a business, it's actually quite a short chapter. I don't really know what happened, but now I'm going to a place called Geomadrigal to go get some intel about who's doing what and who's lying to whom and why, and let the story progress. It's me and the head of the Pinstripe Boyos, and he himself wears paisley and a leather jacket and glasses. So I am going to call him Ian Paisley, I guess. Paisley makes the girls go crazy, as they say.
So in an attempt to move away from Northern Irish humour, we have stumbled across this ring sting.
Yep, this is what I do. I finally finished chapter 6. I felt like it just went on forever. And yeah, I decided to name a character after a legendary political gargantuan of a political person in Northern Ireland. Ian Paisley. That's the phrase I'm going to use there.
Yeah, definitely the name I would have given.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yes. So at this point of the game, Ichiban has fought his way through crowds and crowds of enemies, which he's quite good at, actually. I'll give him that.
He does. He loves beating people. Like you wouldn't believe.
He fights his way up to Captain Takabe and lets him know about Lo Mao's deception.
Right, that's what I did, yep.
Yeah, told him about the edited video, how he wanted to start a war.
Yes, but I did that.
Yeah, Takabe, he wants justice for the two young men that were killed by the Lu Mang.
That's what happens.
It is, because as Lu Mao wasn't acting alone, he is part of the gang you are now in the headquarters of.
Yes.
So he wasn't going fucking anywhere. So Ichiban had to use a bit of Yakuza logic to talk him down, which results in taps off, fists up.
Yep. Good old bit of fisticuffs there.
Thankfully, we are able to kick his head in, which calms him down a bit.
Yeah, he was a wee bit nicer to talk to after he took a beating.
And then we meet Ian Paisley.
Yeah, didn't care for him, have to say. It may surprise you.
And this is Shou.
Shou! I don't know how you actually pronounce it, so that's how I'm going to pronounce it.
Yeah, you can this see is not the evening for me to get anything right.
You can see why I called him Ian Paisley.
It's catchy. I thought it's just because he looked like him.
In his shirt, yep, you know it.
Well, Shou's, he's a bit dubious as to why Lao Ma would betray him.
Why wouldn't you believe Ichi? I'm a good bloke. Oh, top bloke. Like.
Just look in his eyes. He's sincere.
Yeah.
Like a wee puppy.
Exactly.
But all they have to do is point out that, look, the fucker's not here. Why isn't he here? He should be here. He's obviously up to something. And yeah, that doesn't look great. So people are getting a bit suspicious of him. So they agree to hold off on the war if you can provide him with some proof. Yeah.
Why is it always up to me to do
well? You're everything. Accusing all these people of starting wars. You can't just run about doing that filthy.
I just don't get it. There's just an awful lot of work for me at all times. Me running around like a blue arsed fly, going, "Yeah, oh no, it'll be me. I'll go find you proof of this or that or the other." Sure, why not? I'm doing nothing else. You know, why don't I go on this wild goose chase and go find some wild geese? Yeah.
So he sends you off in the direction of the, what did you call them?
I think I settled for Gargamel, you know, the enemy of the Smurfs.
Yeah, that's horrible stereotype of Jewish people. I don't know why you went with that.
Hard to know.
Smurfs have been cancelled. Why are you trying to be too? This is a difficult one because the name is Korean.
Oh, okay.
And they have different phonetic definitions of the letters. So phonetically, it sounds like Komijura.
Right.
Yeah, which I can get, you know, that's not how it's spelled. So
No. You can see why I went with Gargamel.
Yeah, and, you know, apologies if I got it wrong, but if you're that hung up in pronunciation, this is not the episode for you, and you can go fuck yourself, you weeaboo prick. Ha ha! Jokes. You're also warned not to fucking leave town, filthy.
I know. I don't know where I would go, let's face it. Unless I'm shot, I can't seem to transport myself anywhere, so...
If you go into the sewers again, you're fucked.
That'll be it. I'll be done for.
On that note, another sting.
Let's do it.
I've enrolled in a school where I do general knowledge quizzes for charisma points, so that's interesting. I passed a sports one miraculously. I've passed two trivia ones. Failed one about Japanese gangs, which isn't a great look when you're in a Japanese gang. But hey, so we're all here to learn, isn't it?
So the gangster quiz or exam,
yep,
would be a bit of a bastard for you to complete.
I had no idea. I thought they were taking the piss. I was like, what on earth am I supposed to be looking at here?
Kind of are taking the piss because all these questions reference the previous games.
Well, that's a bit shitty. How would I know that? I barely know what's going on this game.
Well, it's rewarding fans like myself who knew the answers without having to Google them once.
Well...
or ever.
Well, that's fine then. See if I care. You can all keep your little sneaky...
We've got our fucking charisma points, all right, lad?
Yeah.
We finished the fucking game, were you?
It's fine then. I'm still stuck in school here, answering questions about general knowledge and shit.
So yes, for that one, I would not blame you for looking up a cheat sheet because you would never guess the fucking answers.
Yeah, I had no clue. I thought...
In fact, I know some people that have played the previous titles and still got questions wrong on this.
I just thought, wow, are you supposed to be a massive Japanophile if you're going to be playing these games?
It just helps.
Yeah, you just know this as a bit of fun in your life. I was like, that's a bit wild. But now we know.
The school itself, definitely worth doing. Your charisma points or skill levels, they increase the power of some attacks. You can get past other characters by passing a certain level. If your charisma is high enough, you're able to talk to certain characters that will ignore you otherwise. So it's worth doing.
I did do ones that I could do. I can't remember what they were now. I think I chanced my arm on sport and I actually got it. A lot of them were American questions, though, which pissed me off. We don't all like basketball and American football programmers.
That's not the game's fault. That's your fault for not being an alpha male.
That's true. Just don't even lift, bruh. You know? It's terrible of me. Don't even lift.
And, you know, if you get your personality stats high enough, you could actually become a foreman or foreman.
Ah, see, this was it. This came up earlier. You told me when I was in the dungeons to be a foreman, and I can see clear as day where I'm supposed to be knocking down walls, but yeah, the option in the job center just isn't there for me yet. Still grayed out. Now I know why.
Yeah, your bonding sessions at the survive bar when you're talking to your teammates, depending on the answers you give there, will boost parts of your personality.
Jesus, I just pick whatever. They all usually just progress. And I just keep clicking buttons till the person stops talking to me. And I do it because I know you're supposed to. But it doesn't mean I enjoy it. And I just keep pressing buttons till they stop talking. Which is a lot like my normal social interactions in a bar, to be fair. I just keep nodding and talking until they go away. It's a fun fact there, yeah.
Yeah, one that I didn't need to know. When I was editing the last episode, I kept noticing I put a pause between four and man.
Four, man. I didn't know that, right?
Yeah, and then I was wondering why, because it was quite stunted. And then it was when I reviewed the notes. Don't say foreman. Filthy will make a grill joke.
And you know I would have. Now that's been taken away
from me. I just have to guess the jokes you're going to make now and try to fucking circumvent them.
I mean... all you've left me with now is that 70s show, because obviously the main cast were, the family were called the Foremans, so I suppose there's that, but not a very rich territory for humour these days, though, that 70s
show. Yeah, I'd be careful there.
Yeah, let's move on from jokes around that particular show, but yeah, I was pleased to be in a mini game that I actually understood, just get the right answers to the questions was the main gist of it.
Why couldn't everything be this simple?
I have no idea.
Another ring sting.
Please.
Back in story mode. And so as part of this chapter, I have to go and find out what a gang have been up to. I can't pronounce it, so I'm going to call them the Gargamel. So I went to the heartland of the Gargamel. And... I had to have fight upon fight with their lads. I didn't, you know, expect anything else. Climbing up a big sort of tower. And when I get to the top, Morpheus is there. I'm going to call him Morpheus. He's the guy that sort of, I didn't mention this, which you'll love. He sort of saved our ass and got us out of the basement the last day. So this is his guys. He's the head of the Gargamel. And he is mad about the tech. He's watching everybody, he's watching the other clans, He's doing stuff with lasers where he prints money. He's got a good looking sidekick. You know, they always have to have a good looking sidekick. So that's her job. Yeah, there's lots going on with the Gargamel. Don't know, the good looking sidekick's on the screen as I speak here. Don't know what to call her. She's got purple hair. I'll call her Purple Woman for now. I'll come up with something better, but for now.
So you're back at the spider nest, which we saw earlier in the game. They were the hooers that stole all the electricity from the bars.
Yes. That
was a good read, Filthy. You want to do that one again?
That was a thing that happened. Yep.
The cunts with the crossbows.
Yeah, no, I do remember that.
Oh, that's okay. I can't be sure all the time.
They tried to steal money from me hooer house. That was them. Steal all our lackey. Was rude of them. But yes, Morpheus, that's who's in charge of them. Didn't see that coming, actually. I thought he was going to be a bit more mysterious than just some gang owner. But I like him. Good bloke. Mm-hmm. Good bloke, yeah.
Yeah, he's all right. We make our way through the spider nest. More fighting. You've been doing a lot of fighting. And this
serious
house is,
load of it.
Yeah, but you're good at it now.
Well, you say that.
Housing a surveillance room. And they use the knowledge obtained here as a type of currency.
That's wild altogether.
That's serious, isn't it? Peeping Toms. So it ends up using all their surveillance gear. They actually have video footage of Lauma leaving the soap plant when the owner was killed.
Okay.
Which comes in handy to prove that he killed him, but they won't hand over the footage until you do something for them.
Why am I not surprised? I mean, that sounds like the exact sort of thing I would need for the previous people who needed something from me. And now these people have it, won't give it to me. It's become...
I'll take, no give. These
that
people.
Seems to be it. Seems to be it. But fair enough.
Fair enough. This is when you're led to the laser cutting room that creates the counterfeit bills.
And I was thrilled that I was just like,
look,
impressed? All the shiny lasers and him showing me all the stuff.
Fish tank making money.
Yeah, it did look a little bit super futuristic, but this is... I've just realised I don't remember the name of the city. Can't even finish that.
Oklahoma.
This is Oklahoma, where anything is possible there.
So the gang are watching this on, and they're more impressed with this one than the previous one, because not only does this money actually look authentic, it's also in yen, which to them is real money.
Yes, the Chinese were happier about the money being Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
That was a thing I remembered from it happening.
And through all that impressive money, we are then introduced to Purple Woman, who is called Shang-He, and this is the person that actually leads the gang. Filthy, you sexist pig.
Fuck, is it fuck? I just...
Woman!
I just don't... It's so twisty and turny, this game. People are never who they say they are. It's... Oh. I was just disappointed, I think, more than anything.
Yes, so the leader explains that the blank paper in the warehouse that you found, that's what they used to make their notes.
Yes.
And it turns out that parts of it were being stolen to make other currency, but they were turning a blind eye to it just to keep Lauma happy and out of the way.
Yeah, that's was my understanding of what was going on as well.
Yeah, I gathered. And that is why Morpheus was able to walk up to you while you're in chains, because he obviously deals with them to get the paper.
So they weren't as surprised to see him as I was.
Surprised, and he was also able to walk up to captive people in a warehouse without raising an eyebrow. So he's obviously dealt with them for quite a while.
Potentially done a few wee bad things.
Otherwise,
himself.
It's a very, very odd rescue, Filthy.
It did look a little odd at the time. That was my point, really. and I stand by it.
Yeah, at this stage we kind of get a bit of backstory. The Chinese counterfeiter has an employee that used to make dud money, and a bit happenstance, lazy writing.
Well, that wouldn't be for me to say. It's not the sort of thing I would call it.
Because you caught it all.
Well, exactly.
It's just they make a note of saying this, that Xiao most likely knows everything that's going on and just decides to look the other way as well. Just for a quiet life.
Willful ignorance. Yep.
Yeah. But guns come out, and it's Ichiban's blood-soaked bill causing a bit of drama again.
When does it not? He's had that bill a while now, and nothing good has ever come from it. That's all I can say about that.
They want to know where he got it from. They're not too happy that he has it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're less impressed that he doesn't have a fucking answer for them.
Yep, he did not indeed.
But then they kind of reveal that, yeah, they already knew that he didn't know anything about it. So why all the dramatics, Filthy?
That was my question at the time.
Because it turns out they've been using these cameras to watch him very closely.
They had been for a while now, ever since he showed up in Oklahoma. They were on top of him. And what was interesting, and might lead us neatly to anything else we're going to talk about, is they were surprised when he was at the homeless camp and the people that the company kept, weren't they?
Would this be a good point to induce the next sting?
I think before I spoil anything else, it's pertinent, yes.
Namba left the party. Well, aren't those sad words? If you didn't know, Namba was the real name of homeless Harry Potter. And quite the emotional journey we've been on over the last 10 or 15 minutes. Only befriended us because of our fake dollar bill. Turns out this is the fucker that's been printing them. Him and his fine looking woman, TM. I think that's going to have to be her name. I mean, she's only pixelated, but you know, that's what the game tells me anyway. So I had to beat up all her henchmen, had to beat up Morpheus. He was hardy fucker. Got me right down to the last, just Ichi was the last man standing to beat him. Don't appreciate a game where halfway through a fighting round someone pulls out a gun and shoots you. It looks a bit weak to me, but hey, that's what happened. And now Namba's left the party. So I have to go to the homeless camp to, I don't know, collect his things or something. I wasn't paying attention. But yeah, Namba left the party.
So Namba turned out was a little bit of he had his own agenda the whole time. Son of a bitch. He had a brother, that much I remember, and his brother wasn't happy with what he'd been seeing. And so, well, stuff happened to the brother, and we don't know what. And that's why homeless Harry Potter was being homeless. And yet, you know, it was from there, well, you know yourself, really, that he ended up homeless.
Oh no, I'm letting you cook. Work away. Explain it to me. What happened?
Well, he went looking for his brother, as they so often do in these situations. And his brother, the journalist, who was a journalist and wasn't happy with what he'd been seeing. And he wants to know what happened to his brother. And sure, we don't know. And so that's why he was... I don't know if he was undercover as a homeless person or if that was just how his life was going at that stage. But he
Namba?
Homeless Harry Potter.
He decided to disguise himself as a homeless person because nobody pays attention to them, or so he thought, until he saw himself all over the surveillance, because he's been kind of going around the area trying to get information and studying the circumference of their base.
Yes, that's what I
noticed.
That's what I said.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if you play back, you'll feel silly repeating me there. But that's all right. That's all right. But yeah, he didn't. It's sad at this point. Namba, he just kind of fucks off. I don't even know where he goes. Maybe I missed it.
Well, there was a heartwarming moment where that, even though he had his motives, he was still a friend of Ichiban's. Even if Namba wasn't a friend of Ichiban's,
that's true. That was something we did see.
It was heartwarming, Filthy. It reminded you Ichiban's a lovely fucking fella.
Well, sure, we knew that. We
and
knew
he
that
will never
in.
Forget the kindness Namba showed him and helped him recover after he was hurt.
That is true. Now, when you say it like that, that is true.
Yeah, if only the game didn't tell you that.
No, it's only in your retrospectiveness that I appreciate what you're saying.
So yes, the gang turns their attention to the henchmen, to the goons, to let Namba escape.
Was it one of the many fights that I had?
It was, yeah. You would have eventually fought Morpheus after fighting a few waves of henchmen.
Yep, see, I remember doing that now. because I think it took me more than one go to beat him, actually.
Yeah. Some boy for one boy.
He was. He was a hard lad. He was, yep. But, yeah. That's where I was. I was just fighting Morpheus, wondering where Namba's got to. That was all the things that happened.
So it was at this point we had to take it out. I've made a point of saying, Filthy, finish Ichiban Holdings before you go any further in the story.
Well, now, hold on. I might want to put you to task to this.
Okay.
I do have a new little buddy.
You do have a new little buddy, but do you have them after this point in the game?
She starts fighting for me.
Yeah, but did she start fighting at this point of the game? Or did you have to do this with three playable characters?
I'm trying to remember now if she... I mean, she's definitely with me now, spoiler for the future.
I know she's with you now, but because you did that after this part.
I can't really remember.
Well, I can remember.
Okay.
So the reason you had trouble with this is because you were reduced to three members of your party.
Well, it was.
If you'd done Ichiban Holdings, you would have four.
I see.
And you would have had an easier time.
Well, she actually has a couple of good attacks, so it's a fair point.
I know she does, Filthy.
She does a thing with scissors, and it only takes like 6 HP, but it induces bleed damage. I really like that move.
She also does one with thumbtacks, which is fucking superb, and would have come in really handy during this fight.
I can imagine. I mean, when you say it like that, that's a fair point, really. Might have to rethink this.
Yeah, giving you all that advice for nothing.
Yeah, I might have to start listening to it a little bit more.
So, yeah, at this point of the game, Ichiban basically tells Namba to get the fuck out of here, find your brother.
He does. Yeah, I did see that bit.
I thought it was a sweet moment. It didn't seem to resonate with you as much.
I mean, so Ichi does so many good things a day, it's hard to really...
Then why aren't you more fond of him?
I like him. He's all right, like. He's a good bloke. Nice guy.
Adorable.
It's just funny hair.
When does that ever put you off somebody?
That's true.
Disappointed. Disappointed.
You or me.
Speaking of which, next audio note.
Okay.
Just finished chapter 7, so I believe that leaves me somewhere around the halfway mark in this game, storyline-wise. And I am in the presence of the Ichi 3, that's a fine-looking woman. I've got to get a better name than that. It was Kasuga's name for her, not mine. Purple lady. Pinky, purple. Yeah. Ian Paisley is ahead of a family because that scans. And old dude, TM. I don't know what to call him, really. He's generic old man with a white buzz cut. And apparently the leader of one of the clans. And they're all sitting down to have a stern word with me. We'll see what happens.
A meeting has been called, and Ichiban has to attend to decide on Namba's fate, as the gangs want to kill him to keep the counterfeit secret safe.
I mean, well,
Bob mentions he's a driving instructor before this meeting. An important plot point.
Right. I'm gonna have to take your word on that, both on that he said that and that it could be remotely important. But that's okay.
That is okay. I am glad. So at this point, we meet the Ichi 3.
Yep.
You decided to christen them.
I thought that was their name.
Shanghai, Xiao, and Hoshino. Ijin 3. Ijin 3.
Two Ijins. Right, and they're the heads of...
Fuck Ijins.
And they're the head of the gangs.
Yeah, this is your three gangs of the city. These are the leaders. I know.
Okay.
A lady leader. Can you imagine?
Bloody hell. Imagine you what prick. Would happen. And then Ian Paisley as a leader. Imagine. God.
Imagine.
Terrifying. And then some old dude.
Yeah, you haven't decided on what you're going to call him yet, have you?
He's just like the old dude. And there always has to be one who's been, you know, the head of the family for a bajillion years, the godfather. But yeah, he's just the old dude to me for now. But yes, we had a little meeting so that they could talk at me for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened.
You're really keeping on top of this game.
I just remember them talking lots and me being like, what? Now you all want to fight each other? Ah, something about a grey...
No way.
Something about the grey space being dissolved. That comes up at some point. Maybe it hasn't yet. I don't know. Somebody mentioned there being grey and then it gets removed.
Are you thinking of Bleach Japan?
No.
They want to remove the grey areas.
Wait, maybe yes. The grey areas are like the safe places in the city. And they're like, oh, if we do away with those, then I don't know. I was lost in the metaphor, to be honest.
Wouldn't be like you.
I don't know what else to say. They just talked a lot. And then I didn't get knocked out, but the chapter ended. So that was a different...
Oh, that's a plus.
Yeah, one of the few chapters where I don't get concussed.
No wonder Ichiban's seeing things.
And it's going that way, isn't it? Yeah, just an awful lot of head damage for one game.
Well, this has been the fucking impressive amount of progress for you.
I didn't even divert once to Mortal Kombat rumors or anything else that takes my fancy, which is usually my way. God, yeah, how many chapters did I do in this? I did two chapters in this episode. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. See? Finally, we're cooking. About a halfway point, I reckoned. I think you said there was 14 or 15 chapters. So
yeah, you are around the halfway mark, and hopefully things will start speeding up here now that you've done the Ichiban Holdings game. I'm very impressed that you were able to get a handle on that, by the way.
Were you? Yeah, I thought you. Yeah. I thought you might be. It was.
There was a point where you were sitting at the 90 mark, and wow, in just one shareholders meeting, you were able to jump up, 40 places?
That was
amazing level of management. What was your secret?
Perseverance.
Perseverance.
And hard work. Mm. And paying attention to everything you'd said definitely helped.
Yeah, you seem to. You really took it on board.
Yeah, that was what happened at that point in the game. It was as if by magic. I just got really good at that bit for a while. That was... Don't know what else to say.
Do you not know?
No, don't really. I mean, on a completely separate note,
mm-hmm.
I think it's amazing this game share thing.
It's impressive, isn't it?
It's very good on Xbox.
You can cloud play a game so you don't even have to download it?
Is that right?
Yeah. So you can boot up a game, no install time, and your profile's on my console.
Is it? Oh God, that's right, because of the wonderful game part, the game share system they have.
Yeah, the fantastic game share. So I was able to boot this game up through cloud. I didn't have it installed because, you know, I finished this game. I don't need to install it again. So I booted up in cloud. I was able to load into your profile, and I could actually go into the game.
Right. Goodness.
Mm.
Right.
I was able to give you a little nudge in the right direction with the business management game.
I see. I was not aware of that.
Bastard. Not even a thank you.
I don't know. I thought we couldn't tell listeners or they'd be disappointed in me or else.
Of course they're disappointed in you.
Is it against advertising if it's not me playing the game the whole time?
I set it up for you. I left it ready. All you had to do was a few shareholder meetings and you would have made it to number one. You would have got Airy and you would have been able to have a fourth character to do that somewhat hard boss battle.
And that's not exactly what
you
happened.
You listen to your fucking telling off. Don't you look off into the distance.
It's not exactly what happened, was it, I suppose?
Is Mrs. Filthy there?
No. She's downstairs.
Mm. I'm going to text her, get you to slap you in the back of the head. I just, everything I do for you, Filthy, and just not even a thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm a proud, proud man.
In many ways.
I did enjoy that, though. It was really good. Whenever I didn't have to do that for a wee bit.
I was quite impressed with that. I might actually hop on when I'm really, really drunk and grind out some levels for you.
Just log
back in. Why am I level 99? This is brilliant.
Baiting people. yeah, that's one thing I don't want to say. Maybe I shouldn't say because it could come up in future episodes. But without giving anything away, I think I have in recent gameplay got to the first stage ever where I'm not really at the right level for the fight that I've walked into. I've died 4 times in a row, lost practically all my money. So I've managed, because sometimes you feel very locked into what you're stuck doing.
It can feel that way, yeah.
Yeah, so I've managed to escape the particular thing that I'm talking about. And I'm going to have to level up, I think. Going to have to do a bit of grinding or whatever.
Well, we'll do a little off-air talk and we'll take a look at your equipment. Have you still been crafting?
I have, actually. And do you know what? Whenever I got all my money, I bought a bar or a some sort of plank of wood, and the bat still isn't as good as it, and I've been crafting a bit, so it's disappointing.
Upgrade the bat.
Well, this is the first. I've upgraded it only today to be of a good level. So I have to spend like 2 million. Yeah,
you're going to have to go back to the shareholder meetings for a bit. That's the best way to get money, to pay for upgrades.
Yeah, I can see what's going on there. Yeah,
there's
going
to be a bit of repetition in your future.
It seems that way.
But how are you feeling about the game? Feels like you've kind of got a handle on it now.
Well, yeah, up until I've hit this stumbling block. But yeah, I'm battering away. I don't want to spoil anything about potential future episodes. But yeah, it might be that if I had to talk straight, I mightn't have played any Mortal Kombat this week either. Just saying. Yeah, I'll say no more. That's the weirdest euphemism I've ever heard. It sounds like maybe going to the bathroom after a curry or something, having Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. So yes, yeah. A lovely amount of progress. Well done, Filthy, even if you did get a little helping hand and you didn't follow advice. But
Thank you.
You can't have it all. Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So no feedback this week because people are bored of your lack of progress. But if they did want to leave some, where can they? Twitter's still up.
If Twitter still exists when this goes out, you can visit us on @FilthyRing, unless you've already viewed 600 tweets, whatever the fuck that means. Or you could email us on filthyring@gmail.com.
And as always, the links are in episode show notes, or you can visit shows.acast.com/PERS for links and various hosting services.
Wonderful.
Yes, and
well, I for one.
Go on.
Just going to say, I for one feel fulfilled by that, by the progress I've made.
Full filthy,
exactly.
And of course, there was one thing we forgot to mention.
Oh, was there? That sounds
indeed right. There was. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Filthy. Happy birthday to you.
Well, that was genuinely heartwarming. Thank you very much. I don't like people knowing I have a birthday because, it just makes me mortal like everybody else.
Well, it's not for fucking you.
Is it not?
No, it's the show's birthday on the 8th of July.
Is it? Oh, wow, cool. We'll have to have
filthy cake.
A big filthy cake, a big ring sting shaped cake. And
we might buy you a katana.
Well, I don't know what to get you. More microphones? Do you have enough microphones?
I have too many fucking microphones. Yeah, I hate the sound of my voice.
Yep.
I'm going to have to edit myself singing later. Fuck.
Hopefully it'll be reserved like all the religious holidays.
And yes, it was also Filthy's birthday. Happy birthday, Filthy.
Thank you kindly.
You gorgeous bastard.
Oh no.
Well, that was a strange note to finish off on.
Well, it's all strange. Let's face it.
Yeah, it's been a weird week. I'm not going to drink every recording.
Oh, it's a shame. It could become a thing.
I'm on podcast holiday. I shouldn't even be doing this.
That's true. Busman's holiday here.
But yes, until our paths cross again, we live, we learn.
God help us all.
This vehicle, the girl is critical. They say the guy without the seatbelt did the damage.
My arse in the line. I don't want any cock-ups.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.